Spring always brings glory to Washington. Azaleas, cicadas chirping into the night. It's also when federal agencies open up to more buying and more vendor days. Joining me with three things contractors need to know in early June, Larry Allen, president of Allen Federal Business Partners. And Larry, the idea of vendor days really does get the sales juices flowing, doesn't it?
Well, it should, Tom, because these are great ways for companies to not only find out what's on the mind of their government customers, but also to be proactive during these sessions by reaching out to the people in the government giving the briefings so that they can find out the answers to the questions they themselves have and also suggest things. So typically a contractor may look at a vendor day as an opportunity to hear, but it's also an opportunity to speak and shape, and both sides are important.
And how long do you usually have before a federal buying authority during a vendor day?
Typically, these vendor days take the form of a town hall meeting, Tom, and they usually last for an hour and a half. But, you know, even if the entire briefing is taken up by the government, which is pretty unusual, you have an opportunity to engage in people while they're still in the room. You have an opportunity to set yourself up as someone who is interested in the procurement by virtue of you having signed up and attended the event. That makes it easier to ask questions and actually get a response back after the industry day has happened, but before, obviously, the RFP or RFQ is out on the street. As much communication as you can have, whether you're on the government or industry side, before that bidding document hits the street, Tom, everyone in acquisition agrees that more discussion is better than less, and it gets you better responses, better competition.
But aren't there really two types of vendor days? There's one where maybe it's related to the planning of a GWAC, a government-wide acquisition contract, and government wants to broadcast to industry what it is they'll be seeking and the kinds of things they'll be looking for in the bids. But then there are some times where the agency will call in people individually or let you come in and schedule an appointment, maybe 15 minutes to have before a contracting officer and a program manager, that kind of thing. And so you really have to be prepared for whatever the format is.
You have to be prepared, and you have to be prepared to understand what it is that government agency is looking for in the 15 minutes you have. Agencies will usually tell you what they're interested in, Tom, but that doesn't always mean that contractors will follow suit. One of the classic examples is if they're looking for a discussion of your technical capabilities, don't send in your senior sales rep. Nothing wrong with senior sales reps, but very few of them can talk about technical capabilities to the degree that a technical person on the government side wants to engage in. That 15 minutes is your opportunity, and if the government says we want to talk about ways to fry eggs, you want to bring in your top egg fryer, not the person who is in charge of the account for that particular government agency.
All right, so that's a good way to make sure you do get those scrambled eggs in going. And the other thing in June, or the second thing in June, you mentioned are whistleblowers seeking to capitalize on a TAA memo. Tell us about that one.
Well, that's right, Tom. Recently, the General Services Administration sent out a memo to a number of its GSA schedule contract holders, no fewer than five separate schedules, and they've since followed up on that with a guidance that suggests, or guidance that rather tells all government contractors on schedule that they need to be taking TAA compliance seriously as part of their secure supply chain program.
And TAA stands for?
Trade Agreements Act compliance. We're talking about making sure that the items you're providing on your schedule contract or any government contract worth more than, say, $200,000 has items from Trade Agreements Act compliant countries, whether it's the U.S. or another designated end country. China is obviously the one that comes to mind as the one that's prohibited, Tom, but there are others. So GSA is cracking down on Trade Agreements Act compliance. This, in turn, has spurred whistleblower activity. There are a lot of attorneys around the country and certainly a lot around the Beltway who are interested in hearing from whistleblowers, people who say, In this specific case, my company or my competitor is not Trade Agreements Act compliant, and I can prove it. There's a lot of money to be made in whistleblower cases, Tom, and it attracts a lot of interest in the legal community as well as on the part of people who maybe say their individual retirement account isn't performing the way they like might like it to, and they need to retire. So where there's money, where there's also known problems, known because of GSA's memo in this instance, there's going to be a lot of increased whistleblower activity.
We're speaking with Larry Allen, president of Allen Federal Business Partners. For that matter, there are a lot of new rules. There's one that just came late last month with respect to the types of cybersecurity controls contractors are required to have in place. So if you're looking at compliance with TAA, you can probably look at a lot of things to make sure you're compliant with as part of your spring cleaning.
Well, that's right. And the whole deal around the cyber rules, Tom, are now we actually have some codification of what contractors are expected to adhere to. Now, we can talk about whether or not the rules are actually ones that a lot of contractors think they can follow, but that's another discussion. The fact of the matter is that cyber and cybersecurity spending are the number one, two, and three priorities in the federal IT market right now. And if you're going to be offering cyber solutions, that's where the money is, but it's also where the requirements are. You as a contractor need to make sure that as you pursue the financial contract opportunities, that you're also keeping track and making sure that you're in sync with the rules governing your own systems, how you handle government data, and what your reporting systems are in case something goes wrong.
And getting back to the sales idea here, at least in the time remaining this year, if you're a cybersecurity product vendor, you can still get some traction in actual sales booked before the end of the fiscal year.
Oh, I think you definitely can. Look, some of the larger enterprise-wide solutions as we move into June, Tom, there's not going to be enough time to get a lot of those done, particularly if they haven't started to some extent already. But that doesn't mean there aren't going to be plenty of other opportunities, maybe a little bit smaller. But the fact is there's going to be a lot of cyber-related business between now and the end of the fiscal year, some of it in the data center area, some of it in data crunching, data analysis area, security and recovery. This is a target-rich cyber environment for contractors between now and September 30th.
And is it wise to try to get something established now in case there's a continuing resolution that you could sustain even though there's not a new budget for that? Because once it's on the books, even in a CR, it's still an ongoing program or acquisition.
Well, that's exactly right. And I think that's good advice for everyone listening. We start every year, every fiscal year now with a continuing resolution. And this is going to be an election year. That's going to be no different. In fact, we could have the government operating for 4 to 5 months under a continuing resolution. So you really want to get projects initiated and on the books now, because once that CR kicks in, you can't initiate any new project spending. You can just keep doing what you have been doing.
Larry Allen is president of Allen Federal Business Partners. Good advice for a springtime day.
Tom, I wish your listeners happy selling.
Read Larry's blog and share this interview with colleagues. Go to federalnewsradio.com/Federal Drive and click Share with Friends.